And there are no consent matters, so we'll move into discussion. The NCWM National Price Verification Survey, and call on Conrad Crockford.
Hi, good morning, commissioners. I sent out a little background memo for this, to recap, that's the National Conference on Weights and Measures, which we participate in, fall under, and work with, and they are initiating a National Price Verification Survey. And price verification is a aspect of weights and measures programs in many states. It's not one that we participate in here. But looking at this, it's essentially going into retail stores, and states that have the program will go in. They'll conduct inspections on a randomized amount of samples, 50 items or 100 items, depending upon the store size. And essentially, it's a price check. Are those items what the price is posted? Is it ringing up at the till for the customer at that price? And this is looking at not only overcharges, but also undercharges. In North Dakota, we've got a lot of small businesses, and we want to ensure a small business is not, you know, with our scales when we go in there, we want to make sure that scale's equitable. We're not looking to make sure that it's always in favor of the customer. We don't want that small business to lose money just as much as we don't want a customer to lose money either. And so what this is a national survey that's going on. They're asking all states willing to participate in it to go in and get a perspective of what pricing accuracy looks like on a national level. There are 11 store types that the survey is looking at, and what they classify as store types would be things such as supercenter, grocery store, automotive, clothing, home centers. And they're asking states to participate and conduct a minimum of five surveys per store type. And we've looked at this for a little bit now and believe that this is something that would be really good for the Weights and Measures Program and for the commission and all ultimately North Dakota participate in, just to get an idea of what does things look like in North Dakota. This is not any type of inspection. There's no enforcement activity with this. It's us going in and just getting an idea of and conducting a survey is how does this look for us? Is this effective here? Do we have issues within here? And it lasts for 2 months, January through February. As I mentioned, five store types, so we'd be looking at 55 inspections, looking at our workload within the Weights and Measures Program. Many of these could be done as a target of opportunity in the communities that we're already in, and we do see this being as a minimal impact to the program for over a two-month period, and we would gain immediate access to those results. All the compiled information would be sanitized when it's sent to national, meaning there's no identified store names or location. The only thing is it's identified by the store type that where the survey was conducted at. And so I believe that this is something that would provide us some really good evidence and information and a really good opportunity for us to be a part of this that's happening on a national level and for us to participate in kind of a much larger weights and measures project that's occurring out there. Our goal would be to go in, introduce ourselves to the store owner, operators, or managers, be very transparent, let them know what's happening, give them an opportunity to decide if they want to participate or not. If they choose to, then ensure that they get a copy of the results for the store. I mean, we want to make sure, like, okay, here's what this found. The procedures that are used for this have been generated by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. It's in a handbook that's called Handbook 130, which is a companion handbook to Handbook 44, which you've heard of. And so there's a specific process that this follows to ensure the data collection is randomized as well. So it's not just a willy-nilly type process. And myself and the inspectors in kind of preparation for this, there were trainings that were offered, online trainings that were offered for this and at the end of November and also in December that we participated in so that we would have the most up-to-date procedures and understanding of how this process would work. But my goal here is I want to make sure that along with Commissioner Haugenhofer, we spoke with about this, is to ensure that the commission is aware of this and to see if there's any comments from the commissioners on this, our participation in this survey.
So it's voluntary?
It's voluntary?
That's correct, yes.
No. Why would they participate?
Many stores, especially the larger stores, the ones that are in multi-states, they're familiar with these programs because they actually it's an inspection that actually happens in a state. There's enforcement practice, much like right. we inspect scales. This is a program in other states. There's a lot of familiarity with that. The other thing that we're looking at is not only this is their participation when we would talk to them is based on if we want to make sure that your prices are accurate and that you're not losing money on this. So it'd be a good check on is their system. Does it make sense of what they're seeing on the shelf? Is that actually what's ringing up at the till? A lot of your average stores have upwards of 80,000 items that they stock. Mm. And that's not just, 20 bottles of Heinz ketchup, but that's, that Heinz ketchup would be like one item in that 80,000 lot.
Right. So all right. What do you do? How do they do it? How do the inspections actually work?
So the survey would work is it's based upon the deciding factor for the number of items that are selected is based on the number of checkout lanes that are at a particular store. Smaller stores, you would be random. You'd identify, I'm going to select 50 items. Going in right at the beginning how many items you're going to select. And then you would break the store up into different sections. So, for example, a super center like Target or Walmart, this is no endorsement of those stores, but they've got a clothing section, they've got a pet food section, they've got a grocery section, which is very large. The inspector determines how many items they would select from each area, and then going down the aisle, they would say, "I'm going to select every 10th item down this aisle," and essentially go down, count, all right, 10th item, count again, 10th item, count again, 10th item, until they have their 100 items, and then working with the store, ringing those up at either a checkout lane or asking the store manager employees to participate. They can come with them. In some of those larger stores, they've got their scanning guns and they can conduct the inspection, the survey right in the aisle where they just scan the UPC code on the box. Okay, it's coming up as $6.95, but the tag says that you're charging $7.25 for this. So this is you're undercharging for this item according to your system when it rings up, or vice versa. Comes up as $6.95, but when it rings up, it's coming up as $7.35. This is an overcharge for the customer.
Okay, that's interesting. And so it would be 55 inspections now in 2 months. That seems like a lot, Conrad. How, like, you guys don't think that that's gonna be kind of a burden?
No, for the time of year and the workload that we've got, we're done with some of our heavy lifting as far as like gas stations. Those very minimal occur this time of year. Plan that because we're not, nobody wants to go out and inspect gas stations in February when it's minus 30. So
sure.
Based upon the workload and how we structure that and the target of opportunity for where they're located at, given that we do have a lot of smaller locations in North Dakota as well, we'd like to try to expand this out. We don't believe that this would have a huge impact on our workload. Not saying it won't have any, but a minimal one. And it does have it's finite. It's a 2-month period. When it's done, that process is over at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to say I am opposed to us doing this. I don't disagree with anything you said. And I will say that I think that there's probably more transactions that go against the consumer's best interest with the pricing than there is on the scales across the mm-hmm. course of a year. However, this isn't what the legislature has tasked us with. We've been assigned with weights and measures, not pricing. And as important as it might be, I think one thing consumers do have the ability, if they're suspicious, of shopping elsewhere. So there is some ability to self-protect. And so I don't view this as important as the overall agency well-being of all of our compliance areas, our reclamation and AML areas, our public utilities areas. And let's face it, every other year we get in a legislative session and we have, I would say, an increasing number of skeptical legislators voting on our law changes and on our budgets who, in many cases, are people I've never seen up here with a question for staff or for us, don't research the program, but come with a skepticism that government just grows and grows and grows and government's too big, we got to cut back. And the perception of this getting out, that here we are taking our weights and measures people that they have assigned us to do and gone into, now we want to start getting into the pricing routines of our merchants, I think is going to do us a lot of damage, more than what the good is going to come out of this. And so I'm very reluctant to go this far out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. As portfolio holder, I had a great discussion with staff before Christmas that we're in, and they researched this, and I thought they did. This being under weights and measures, Conrad, what's the number of states that right now participate in this program, price verification, like 29 states?
I think it's the high 30s. I don't have the exact number for you,
yeah.
Commissioner.
I respect what you say, Randy, on that. Hopefully that we've done the due diligence on, you know, we have this national survey coming out. They're asking all states to participate. It's very grounded in how we do it, why they're doing it, the demographics of it. I supported this, and I thought they laid out a nice plan, as Conrad has done. The inspectors also talked about the importance of it. So I asked Conrad to come here because we wanted to be very transparent on what we were doing, but to get, you know, the blessing of it. So go ahead.
May I ask how many of those 30-some states did so without legislative authorization that have these programs that where the legislators think that they're running a weights and measures program specifically? I'm guessing most of them that that's what they're tasked to do by their policymakers.
And I understand your perspective, Commissioner. I absolutely do, and I definitely don't want us to step outside of the mandate. And that's why, you know, looking at this is strictly just a survey data gathering. If it's never, after we look at it, we see what the results are. We've got a perspective on it. It's I guess that's the avenue that I looked at. It's not something that we're jurisdictionally that we're coming out of it to inspect and to enforce in. It's really just seeing where do things measure up within this state. And so that we understand what's happening here locally. And so not an intention to try to step out of any type of mandate.
When a few of those merchants inform their legislators what we're doing, good luck trying to persuade the legislators at all. It's just a survey where, you know, we got no intention of going outside of our mandate. We'll never even get to have that conversation. They will just look at us as an agency that's looking to grow.
Is this something they do every year? Do you know?
This is the first time that in, I guess, I think in their history that they've done this.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a touchy thing. I don't disagree with Randy at all that it, you know, we could have the best intentions and it could backfire. I mean, obviously, if we're doing this, it would be to see where we're at and see if we have a problem. With the next step, and this is, I think, where Randy's concerns, the next obvious step for any of the merchants, they'd see that too. They'd see that we were kind of maybe tilling the ground for creating this program. So, you know, it would be better if we had mentioned to the legislature that we want to do this and participate in this voluntarily and give that heads up before we go ahead and do it, and open that door, because it is one of those things. Like, it seems kind of small and it's voluntary, et cetera, but if I'm a merchant, I'm leery that this is starting. And it seems more like it's more of a threat than a positive thing for them. I could very easily see it being something that kind of gets elevated. And it's really important that you guys brought it forward. Anytime we're kind of stepping into new ground, we all have to talk about it and make sure that we aren't missing something or just thinking through it clearly. And these are the things that, you know, we see that you probably don't. and think about. And so, you know, I guess I'm also not comfortable having one of us feeling uncomfortable about it. So, you know, I think we need to be sort of on the same page if we're going to expand our work or even tip our toes into this. So I think Randy's raised some pretty good points that we should, let's maybe next session mention this and then be prepared to participate in a voluntary, or we could pursue it probably on our own to some sort of a voluntary inspection of our own. We know the protocols, you guys have been trained in it. We could do it without the national focus as well. And then we can, you know, really be more prepared to think about what it means to go into this kind of line of work.
Question. So if 30-some states are checking pricing machinery, I don't know what the term is for systems. And they go and do this test, won't we, is there some reason to think that ours are much different than the pricing machinery in those states? Like, won't we be able to get the information anyway, even if we don't do this?
Well, we'll definitely be able to have access to the results of the national level. You know, strictly speaking, it's sometimes there's always the question that's raised, well, that's national, but is that here? And so, you know, that seems to always be the next level that people go to. I guess to Commissioner Fedorchik's, and I respect the commission's opinion. I absolutely do. Thank you for your comments on that. And I understand, you know, you've been going through this as far as the, you know, working with the legislature many more years than I have. And so that's really appreciated. I think when it comes to the stores, I guess, you know, the skepticism that's out there is I would hope that a business would want to ensure that they're doing right by their customers and having that transparency. We always talk about transparency here to ensure that, you know, that nobody wants to intentionally, you know, to go out there. It's sometimes things that come up. Issues only arise when you actually, you know, are actually saying, like, when you're looking at things and knowing that something's there and exercising with that. And that's, you know, when the issues arise, then you can come up with solutions to those methods. And maybe there's problems within a location or retailer. They don't understand that, you know, updates are not happening to their databases as frequently as they had hoped to. You know, that's the types of things that could be extrapolated from this. But, you know, and I guess in the guise of that, I would hope that all those retailers would want to be very transparent with that, with their customers as well. But
and they might want to be, but wanting to be and welcoming additional regulation is two very big things. And I would think that they would probably feel that they are being transparent and fair and all of those sorts of things. So, you know, I think Randy's point about the national data, that would provide the kind of framework for a discussion with the legislature to say, like, we didn't participate in it because we didn't want to go beyond, but here's the results. 10% of the prices were off or whatever it is, and there's going to be some estimated loss that or overcharge that mm-hmm. is calculated, I'm sure. So here's the impact on consumers. So that's the kind of data we could take then next session if you know, if we decide mm-hmm. to, and use to say, like, you know, we'd like to explore this. Right. We think that it has, and I guess the first step would be see what that data is and see what the impacts are to customers and, you know, prices that are off. I know I watch like a hawk when it's my good. Stuff it's is really being round, being run through, and things are off sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I find it a challenge at self checkout.
Oh,
you know, but yeah. It's good. You know, I really want to thank you guys for being. You were very proactive. You did a lot of work. You went through the training and all that to understand. I know there's one of the inspectors that is very passionate about this, that has a strong feeling that, but, you know, this was good discussion, looking at, you know, the framework, as in sometimes putting the cart before the horse and looking at we are a regulated, you know, a constitutional agency, and as far as, you know, the policies we have to uphold in the framework we stay in. So, again, I can't thank you enough for your hard work on looking at this. We have a framework going forward, and it sounds like we're kind of supportive of that framework going forward. It's consensus. So I'll let you notify your staff.
I will do that, and I look forward to our strategic planning meeting that's coming up for the compliance division here in January. We can discuss this as far as looking at national results. I understand that, and I appreciate the commission's time and yep. openness, and I think it's we can work with that direction. So.
I think there's some merit in having some regulatory oversight over this pricing, because I think there's a lot of errors going on.
Right.
Yeah. And I want to add, not maliciously. I don't think there's a lot of maliciousness
right.
in that area. It's just there's so many things. It's such a big thing. But okay, thank you very much for your time.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Thanks, Conrad.
And then I don't know if you guys have any scheduling things. I do. I scheduled a personnel meeting for tomorrow morning, and I guess I flubbed it up. I waited too long getting everything lined up, and by then there was already a conflict. So when can we have a personnel meeting?
Does Monday, is it, I haven't looked at Monday, but
the early part of the afternoon, I have education session. I think you probably do too, but
I have
all morning would be available, and the later half of the afternoon would be available.
Later afternoon would work for me.
Now, the only thing would be if this education session goes long. I don't know if it...
I have an appointment in the morning, but I can change it because the rest of the day is pretty booked up for me. Is the morning would be 4-10 work?
Yeah, I'm available at 8-10. I have a meeting. I have something at 10, but okay. I'm available 8-10.
Can we do 8:30 on Monday?
Okay.
I have a 9:00, but I will change it.
Is there anything else for scheduling?
Not for me. I don't think.
Nope.
Okay. With that, we are adjourned.
Okay.